This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, September 26th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also check your weekend forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. Any federal bailout of the financial industry will likely not get the yes vote of an East Central Illinois congressman. Tim Johnson of Urbana says even if fellow Republicans come to a compromise with Democrats on a bailout plan, he's against the concept of making taxpayers pay for the mistakes of firms that invested in risky mortgage-based securities. He also says he's going along with the wishes of his 15th District constituents.
This is a bad approach. It's one that serves us extraordinarily poorly for the future. And I think it's something, and quite frankly, I think serves us extraordinarily poorly in the short run.
Johnson says a bailout would send to people a message that bad decisions have no consequences, but he says Congress ought to react to the latest financial crisis in ways short of a bailout, such as increased oversight, though Johnson says he and Congress don't have specific proposals yet. Congressman Rahm Emanuel is a Democrat from Chicago. He says the tentative deal is a big improvement from the Bush administration's original proposal.
We took that proposal, which on the face of it was ridiculous, and then started to do what we thought was appropriate to put accountability back into this to make sure taxpayers were protected.
Meanwhile, legislators in Washington continue the work on the details. At the Federal Reserve Bank in Chicago, economists and bankers from around the world yesterday were discussing the troubled financial markets. Adrian Hill has more.
The conference has been scheduled for months. Its focus, the credit market turmoil. David Greenlaw of Morgan Stanley started his presentation with a joke about the prescience of the conference organizers.
I have to, though, tell you that they don't have perfect foresight. When I agreed to participate in this conference back in March, the topic of this session, session two, was how serious was the damage related to the credit crunch.
The session had, of course, been changed to how serious is the damage. Greenlaw says he's pleased to hear about the progress in Washington.
You need to see where all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
But he thinks the plan could go a long way to easing the credit crunch. I'm Adrian Hill.
The parents of two girls abused by a teacher have filed a lawsuit in McLean County Circuit Court against the Normal School District, district officials, and the now jailed teacher. The lawsuit was filed yesterday on behalf of two girls who were in John White's first grade class in 2003 and 2004 at Colleen Hoos Elementary School. White is now serving a 60-year prison term after admitting he sexually abused young girls in Urbana and Normal schools. White also taught at Urbana's Thomas Paine Elementary, where he admitted to abusing eight students. The lawsuit contends White committed sexual misconduct and school officials failed to report misconduct that had been brought to their attention. Three other lawsuits have been filed. Normal school officials yesterday referred questions to lawyer Tamara Hackman of Urbana, who declined comment, saying she hasn't seen the 23-count lawsuit, which seeks more than $50,000 and punitive damages. Officials say the unemployment rate is up in all of the state's 12 metropolitan areas. Rockford had the highest unemployment rate at 9.5% in August. The Northern Illinois city also had the biggest unemployment jump, a 3.1% increase from August 2007. Second highest was Kankakee-Bradley at 9.1%, followed by Danville with 8.9%. Illinois Department of Employment Security released the numbers yesterday. The agency says five areas, Champaign-Urbana, Lake Kenosha County, Springfield, Kankakee-Bradley, and Bloomington-Normal, recorded their highest unemployment rate since 1990. Earlier this month, IDES said Illinois' unemployment rate overall increased to 7.3%. An Illinois Department of Corrections spokesman says a study at which the department spent almost $500,000 is wrong. The study found that the Pontiac Correctional Center, which Governor Rod Blagojevich wants to close, could be made up to date for less than $6 million. It also cites a need for an estimated 2,700 more inmate spaces by 2016. Pontiac Mayor Scott McCoy believes the report vindicates his claim that the prison in his city should stay open.
It makes no sense to close Pontiac. We need more prisons, not fewer.
McCoy reiterated his fear that closing the prison would hurt the city. The prison is Pontiac's second largest employer.
They would literally have to leave the community because they would have to go where that job is. It's not like they can just pick up and do another job somewhere in town.
The Department of Corrections has had the results of a study for nearly a year, but only released it. Spokesman Derek Schnapp says it didn't take into account programs designed to keep freed inmates from committing more crimes. The DOC also says closing Pontiac would save the state money. A University of Illinois English professor says there are several flaws in a new memo that bars political activities among faculty and staff. Carrie Nelson is also the national president of the American Association of University Professors. His organization has submitted a response to the U of I's new ethics policy, which he says appears to be a first among campuses nationwide. The AAUP says prohibiting such activity as wearing campaign buttons or attending rallies violates free speech. Nelson says there's nothing in a 2003 state ethics law cited by the U of I that blocks such activity, and he says there's a problem with applying the laws to some staff, including graduate teaching assistants, who he says also retain certain rights as students on campus when they're not working. Nelson says that line of thought can apply to faculty as well.
If I'm sitting in my office holding a conference with a student, I'm a faculty member and I'm an employee at that moment. But if I receive a call from the Obama campaign on my cell phone while I'm sitting in the office, I at that point become a citizen and speak to the Obama campaign or the McCain campaign as a citizen.
The U of I indicates it doesn't plan on policing political activity, but Nelson notes the university is marking those practices, meaning they could be enforced later. This week, University President Joseph White told the U of I's Faculty Senate that he expects these ethics violations to occur from time to time, and he says common sense will prevail, but White admits the policy will likely prompt further review. El Informador, a Spanish-language paper serving Champaign-Urbana, published its last issue this month. Its publisher, the News Gazette, says they were unable to sell enough advertising to keep the paper going. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The News Gazette acquired El Informador last year, converting what had been a University of Illinois student project to a professional weekly paper. The free circulation paper distributed 4,000 to 5,000 copies per issue in Champaign County and other nearby towns. But El Informador faced unexpected competition from another Spanish-language newspaper. Linda George, who oversaw El Informador at the News Gazette, said the publishers of La Prensa put out a good product.
Perhaps their commitment to the project or their knowledge of the community was better. It's a good piece, and they're great people, and hats off to them. I think this paper will succeed. I just don't think that this area at this point is big enough to support two Spanish-speaking newspapers.
George says El Informador's three-person staff is looking for another backer for a possible relaunch of the paper. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonter. If you ask a lawyer a precise legal question, sometimes the facts of one particular case come to mind. This is not a fluke, as commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Law school teaches would-be lawyers many things, like the fact that a valid contract requires an offer and acceptance and some form of consideration that passes between the two parties, that a valid claim of intentional infliction of emotional distress requires that the act be so outrageous that it would lead an average member of the public to exclaim, "Outrageous!" And that there was once a famous radio announcer in Los Angeles who called himself the real Don Steele. I remember Don Steele because the facts of the case in which he plays a role are so memorable. As part of a promotion for his radio station, the real Don Steele went out on the streets of L.A. and announced that he would give $25 to the first person who arrived at his location. It was summertime, and the real Don Steele had a lot of teenage listeners who were of driving age. You probably see where I'm going with this. The young drivers set out to find the real Don Steele and win the money. They didn't drive all that carefully in the process. Imagine yourself as a teen attempting to silence the ringing in your ears of this siren song. The real Don Steele is moving into Canoga Park, so be on the lookout for him. I'll tell you what will happen if you get to the real Don Steele. He's got $25 to give away if you can get it, baby. Or this. The real Don Steele is in the valley near the intersection of Topanga and Roscoe Boulevard, right by the Holiday Theater. You know where that's at, and he's standing there with a little money he'd like to give away to the first person to arrive. The bottom line is that there was a tragic accident involving a driver spurred on by Don. The victim sued the radio station, and the rest will be a part of law school lore forevermore. The case, with its searingly memorable facts, is meant to help law students learn that courts will sometimes find a duty of care even in cases where the defendant may not be directly connected to the victim. In the real Don Steele case, the court reasoned that the station owed such a duty to those who inadvertently stood between the listener driver and the guy with the, quote, bread to spread. The court found that such an accident was foreseeable. But as much as I remember that case, I have proof that the real Don Steele saga isn't etched into everyone's brains. Imagine my surprise to hear about a local radio station promotion that promised free gas cards to those who arrived first at a certain location and told the waiting radio station representative, someone known as the gas man, the secret phrase. The radio station website told those who wished to win the $25 gas cards, "You'll have to be quick. He'll only have a limited supply of free gas cards each time he stops. First come, first served." Now, to be sure, there are key differences that place the Illinois radio promotion on considerably stronger legal ground than one long ago in California. The real Don Steele, for example, fueled the chase by broadcasting his location as he moved around town. The California court also noted that the Steele promotion targeted idle teenagers in the summer, while the Champaign radio station promotion is unfolding at a time when teen drivers, who likely wouldn't be as driven for gas, should be in school. Finally, $25 today doesn't have quite the same motivating heft it did more than 30 years ago. And as far as I know, the Champaign promotion has not inspired any risky driving by listeners and has caused no accidents. But the real Don Steele might nevertheless counsel caution in spreading bread around town on the radio. Sometimes, if you're not careful, the real bread gets forked over in court. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Today's forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 85, clear skies this evening, a low 55. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high 84, partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 57. Mostly sunny Sunday, the high around 80, partly cloudy Sunday evening, the low 56. And increasing clouds Monday, a chance of a few showers late in the day with a high around 80. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, September 26th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.